You're listening to the Racing Roundup with Bobby Beavers and Jim McGrath.
Yes, good evening, everybody. Welcome to this evening's show, the Bobby Beavers Racing Roundup, alongside Jim McGraw. Another great show lined up for you, where we'll be hearing from Charlie Johnston, Michael Dodds and John Quinn, plus previewing the weekend's action as well over in Ireland, York, Goodwood and Haydock along the way as well. This is the Bobby Beavers Racing Roundup alongside Jim McGraw.
Bobby Beavers and Jim McGrath on Proper Sport.
So a very good evening to everybody. Welcome to tonight's show. Delighted to see that Jim is here in the studio again. Jim, great to see you. Lovely day it's been as well here in the White Rose County.
Yeah, they've had quite a bit of rain down south today. 12 millimetres at Sandown where there's racing this evening, Bob. But, I mean, you've come in dressed for the beach. You've got no socks on again. You've got your swimming trunks on and a T-shirt.
Yeah, but can we just emphasise that the type of shoe I'm wearing, I'd look very silly if I wore socks. In other words, it'd be like wearing socks with sandals.
Oh, do they have espadrilles in Rotherham, Bob?
great stuff. Right then, we'll go straight on. Before we do, we said off air we're going to talk a little bit of football, because Rotherham United, we're in the final! Get in!
Yes, this weekend, that'd be a big day for you and all the Millers fans.
Yeah, very much it. Looking forward to it. Hopefully, the Millers are just 90 minutes away from Championship football once again. It will be a very nervous and tense day for me on Sunday. Right then, back on to the racing. Of course, it's the Irish 2,000 guineas and the Irish 1,000 guineas as well. Earlier on, I spoke to Charlie Johnston about Alarcam, and firstly, we spoke about how he ran a cracker in the English 2,000 guineas.
Yeah, he did. Obviously, you know, these sort of races, we go there hoping to win, but at the same time, we had to draw a lot of positives from the run, and if he makes the improvement that he hinted at that he could, then we've got to go there with a big chance on Saturday.
And how has he been, Charlie, since that run at the beginning of the month at Newmarket?
Yeah, obviously, not a huge amount of time between the two races, just 3 weeks, so he hasn't had to do anything serious in that time. He had a canter up the grass on the Wednesday of Dante week, and he's in very good order, very very fit and well, and it's all systems go for the weekend.
And when I briefly spoke to you at Newmarket a few weeks ago, you said in regards to his distance, he wasn't quite sure if he was going to be an 8 furlong, a 10 furlong, or like a 12 furlong horse. Now, at the time being, he's staying at a mile, of course, running the Irish 2,000 guineas. He has been taken out of the Derby, so is he going to stay at a mile for the foreseeable?
I'm not sure. I think we'll learn a lot more on Saturday, really. In the heat of the moment after the guineas, we weren't really sure what route we would go down. The French Derby was firmly in the mix and under strong consideration. Now looking at the field for the Irish guineas, I'm pretty confident we've made the right decision. No races at this level are straightforward and easy. You've got to have a huge amount of respect for the opposition, in particular anything that Aidan's running, but. To be going into the guineas with none of the three that finished in front of us at Newmarket in attendance, he's favourite at the Curragh, and I think he deserves to be. But like I say, I think we'll learn a bit more on Saturday. But it wouldn't surprise me if we did try 10 furlongs at some point, through the season. He's in the Curragh Eclipse, but the St James's Palace will obviously be in the. In the reckoning, depending on how Saturday goes, and you never know, the dream scenario for all of us Yorkshiremen, or in my case, a sort of adopted Yorkshireman, maybe trying 10 furlongs in the Judmont in August. So all those races are on the table. He's going to be in every Group One from a mile to a mile and a half, and with each race, he's a lightly raced horse. We're still learning about him, and those plans are fluid, but exciting to have all these kind of races in the melting pot.
Yeah, it certainly is indeed. You've got a lock, and it was very exciting for you, but you've also got a very exciting filly as well with Threading. Firstly, very impressive on the Knavesmire last week. First time she ran at a mile, and she was excellent.
Yeah, obviously, you know, it's quite easy for people that want to crab her to sort of jump on the bandwagon and say the race fell apart before it even started, you know, with two horses getting withdrawn. The manner in which she won would make you pretty confident it didn't matter that those two horses were withdrawn, she'd have won anyway. Yeah, I think, you know, we're not all pleased because of the opposition that she beat. We're all pleased because of the manner in which she did it. She was really impressive, and William, you know, that was the first time he'd sat on her since he won on a debut back at Goodwood last year, and he was really impressed with the way she picked up. So it was relief as much as anything, you know, after a couple of disappointing efforts. It's got her back on track, and we can start dreaming about big targets again with her.
I've had a look at the entries with her, Charlie, at this year's Royal Meeting. She's got an entry for the Commonwealth, which is a 6 furlong sprint. She's also got an entry too for the Coronation Stakes, which is a mile. Do you think she'll go back down in trip, or do you think you'll keep her to a mile?
You know, when we made those entries, that was before she'd run at York, and at that stage of the year, we were still a bit unsure as to what direction we were going to go with her. So, off the back of York, I think it's unlikely that you'll see this filly back below a mile anytime soon. And you know, the Coronation is definitely plan A for the moment. It's probably going to be one of the hottest races of the meeting if the winners of the English, French, and potentially even the Irish can, you know, were to turn up there. But I think she, you know, she's already a Group 2 winner, and she deserves to have a crack at another Group 1 now, and that's the obvious place for her to go.
And you've got numerous runners from the yard across a lot of different cards over the weekend. Any in particular we should be keeping an eye on, Charlie?
Well, as much as anything, I'm sort of watching the weather at the moment. rain's falling at Goodwood and Sandown at the moment. And it's sort of forecast to head a bit further north. If Haydock got some rain, I wouldn't be surprised to see Book of Dreams bounce back to form. You know, he won really impressively at Musselburgh at the start of the season on heavy ground, and if they got quite a bit of rain and it turned soft there, then it wouldn't surprise me if he sort of left a couple of lacklustre efforts behind. And we had a real nice 2-year-old winner during the Dante meeting, horse called I'm a Dreamer. Quite a quick turnaround for him, but he's going back to York again on Saturday, and you know, I'd be hopeful that he could build on that and go in again.
You're listening to the Racing Roundup with Bobby Beavers and Jim McGrath.
Charlie Johnston speaking to me earlier on about Alarcam and Threading, that will both line up. Alarcam will line up in the Irish 2000 Guineas, and Threading will line up in the Irish 1000 Guineas. Now, the interesting thing about what he said there is, if we go back to what he said to me at Newmarket, 8 furlongs, 10 furlongs, 12 furlongs, we're not sure. But if you look at the entries, you know, obviously he's got an entry in the Cole Eclipse, which is a mile and a half, that's right, isn't it?
A mile and a quarter,
I beg your pardon. So, mile and a quarter for the Coral Eclipse. The Junmont as well, this is potentially on the radar. So, you know,
he's still in the Edward VII over a mile and a half as well at Royal Ascot.
That's the one. Yeah. A mile and a half there in that race, which they won last year with Permian, is that right?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, and it's interesting because it's like the targeting all these Group 1s. You know, it's very exciting for them. It's a very exciting time.
Yeah, well, they do plan ahead, and they are ambitious, but the one thing they're also is realistic, and as Charlie said to you, let's get Saturday out of the way first. Because they, obviously, if you've got what you think is a good horse, you have to plan ahead. You have to be in, unless you want to pay big supplementary fees at the entry stages in some of these big races. So the Tattersall's Irish 2000 Guineas at 4:10 on Saturday, we know the runners. The ground looks like it's going to be a neutral surface. It looks like it'll be good. I don't think the threat of rain is as bad there in Ireland as with some of our racing in England. And as they were quoted as saying he's the form horse at the minute because his run in the English Guineas was a good effort, finished fourth. The winner was a decisive winner. The next three home were sort of on top of one another, so there wasn't much between them. But he beat Gustav Klimt decisively. If it had been very soft ground in Ireland, which it's not going to be, Gustav Klimt might have had a chance of turning the tables, in my opinion. But there's no reason, if he's at least as good, Elarkam, as he was at Newmarket, why he shouldn't win this.
Yeah, very much it. Looking forward to seeing Elarkam return to action. What we need to mention as well, the very first show we did here, the racing roundup, you tipped up Elarkam as one of your horses to follow for the season.
Well, I did, Bob. I mean, I'm not going to take any credit for that because I think anybody that supports or is involved with racing in the north would have picked him out as a horse to follow. Beautifully bred, unbeaten, with a top-class trainer. And, OK, he didn't win the Guineas, but he ran a cracking race and it was a good start to his season.
And the Irish 1,000 Guineas as well. At the moment, we don't know the final lineup, do we?
We know Aidan O'Brien's got 9 out of the 20 decks, and he's probably going to run 4 or 5. We don't know the final lineup, and just looking on the various media sources we used before we came on air, just looking to see if there was any news about Clemmy. It was a top filly last year of his, and a filly I really like. I was looking forward to this season. She had a bruise early in the season, which took quite a while to heal, so she was behind and didn't make Newmarket. She'd be very interesting. But English trained runners, northern trained runners, have got big chances here. We talked about Lawrence at length before the Guineas. She was our tip each way in the race and she ran a cracker. And then you've just spoken to Charlie about Threading, who was very impressive last week.
Do you think she's got a chance in the Irish 1,000 Guineas?
I think the step up in distance suited her. Her pedigree's difficult to read. And as Charlie said, she did win a Group 2 over 6 furlongs at 2. But I don't think she's what I call an out-and-out sprinter. She's a big, rangy filly. The dam, the mother of this horse, never ran. But she's a full sister to Dubai Millennium. And there's quite a bit of stamina in that side of her pedigree. So I think the step up to a mile suited her. She is obviously backing Group 1 company, and that's a much tougher ask than York last week. But I think she'll run well. But Lawrence, again, is being slightly overlooked. She ran a blinder at Newmarket. There's no reason why if she repeats her form, she shouldn't be very hard to beat. We'll find out tomorrow what Aidan runs. For Lawrence's and Threading's sake, I hope it's not Clemmy.
Yeah, it could be a very good weekend over in Ireland for the North. We'll have to wait and see what happens. And just to confirm it, the other two horses that Charlie mentioned there to look out for this weekend, Book of Dreams, which runs in the 250 at Haydock. Obviously, he did say, you know, if the rain does arrive up at Haydock. But Book of Dreams in the 250 at Haydock, and I Am a Dreamer in the 415 at York. Those are the other two horses that he did mention. Right then, from talking about the classics over at the Curragh, there's a really good day's racing at Haydock as well. And earlier on, I spoke to the trainer, Michael Dodds, who has Mabs Cross running in the Temple Stakes on a Saturday. And first off, I start off by saying how well she ran in the Palace House Stakes at Newmarket.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that ground is centred quick enough for her. We're hoping to get a shower of rain at Haydock. But, you know, she deserves the chance of going in. I mean, obviously, she's taken on probably the best 5 furlong horse around at the minute in Battash. But, no, I think she deserves a chance and it'll be interesting. She's not well in at the weights with a few of the horses, but I think she'll put a good performance up. But obviously, you'd expect Battash to win cosily.
You mentioned the rain there. Now it's interesting because it does say it's going to rain tomorrow at Haydock, which should definitely work in her favour.
Yeah, it would, but I mean, you know, let's be fair. She won a listed race at Musselburgh and then was a bit unlucky in the listed race at Bath, and then she's gone and won the Palace House. But this is each time she's sort of had to step up, so it's a massive step up from the Newmarket race to this. So we're not, you know, she's in good form. And I think she's a filly to me. She's a filly that by sort of once we get later on in the season, she's crying out for a step up to 6 furlongs.
And you've had great success as well, Michael, over the years with sprinters, notably with Mecca's Angel. How does Mab Cross compare to Mecca's Angel?
Well, they're two different types. I mean, Mecca's Angel had blistering sort of speed and could jump and travel you know, and was 5 furlongs and that was it. Whereas Mavs Cross, she's not the quickest into her stride, and you know, she's a good filly, which she showed that at Newmarket. But I think she's a filly that will stay another furlong, and I think we'll see the best of her when we step her up to six.
See, that's interesting, where you say you step her up to six, because she has got an entry, hasn't she, in the King's Stand at Royal Ascot, hasn't she? Is she going to go to Royal Ascot this year, Michael?
Well, we'll see how she fares against the likes of Bathurst tomorrow. And I mean, obviously, if she struggles on Saturday, and if she struggles, you know, I think it's more likelihood that we'd be looking for other opportunities rather than going to Royal Ascot.
Does any 6 furlong races spring to mind at all where she could potentially
win? There's a fillies group 3, fillies only at York in beginning of July, and that looks the perfect sort of race for her, and that would be on my mind anyway.
And you've got a couple of runners on Saturday. I've seen you've got two running at York. If we just have a word on them, Get Knotted at Runs, who was last seen finishing 19th of 27 in the Victoria Cup.
Yeah, he ran well at Haydock on his first run of the season. And then I don't think, to be honest, he was a bit outclassed at Ascot. And I don't think a straight track suits him as good. He runs well at York, but obviously it's a hot race. But Callum Rodriguez takes £3 off as falls down at Haydock, so he's in good form. I could see him sort of running into a place if everything went right.
And Dakota Gold, who's got the form at York, has won at York last year, but that was over half a furlong further, if I've got that right.
Yeah, I mean, he ran at Thirsty the other week and was far too keen in the small field for his, well, last Saturday actually, he was too keen for his own good. Bit disappointed, was stuck in draw one because he's a bit funny at the stalls, but there's a bit of speed there near him with Carlton Frankie, but El Astronaut is drawn high, and we need to get the horse dropped in a bit from his draw just to get him to settle a bit, because he was far too keen at Thirst. So the main object will be to get out and get dropped in and just get him to drop his head and hope he's coming home in the last furlong and a half. But it looks ultra competitive, and I think the last meeting you were sort of better to be drawn nearer the stands rail than nearer the far side.
Bobby Beaver's Racing Roundup with Jim McGrath.
Michael Dodds talking to me earlier on about his runner Mabs Cross in this year's Temple Stakes. I think realistically on paper, the one to beat, we all know this, is Batash, isn't it?
It is. I mean, Batash has penalties for his successful career or his successful season in 2017. He has to concede upwards of £5 to all his rivals, which in theory should bring them a little bit closer. But the first point to say about this is the other reason Michael would be keen for Mabs Cross to take a chance. Not only is she in very good form and improving, mm-hmm. and she thoroughly deserves to be in the field. The owners of Mabs Cross, of course, are big sponsors at Haydock this weekend, and they sponsor the feature as well. The Armstrong family sponsor the Temple Stakes. So it's great for them that they can have a quality runner in a race that they've put a lot of money into. Now, Batash was over 5 furlongs with the best sprinter around in Europe last year. Mm-hmm. He's a little bit of a nutcase. You know, he's a high-mettled horse who's at his best when bowling along. There will be some tear-up on Saturday at Haydock, Bobby. Just listen to this. You've got Batash, mm-hmm. a tear-away front-runner. Dr. Sardonicus, front-runner. Catchy, front-runner. Just Glamorous, front-runner. Havana Grey, front-runner. Take Cover, very fast front runner. So the one thing for certain is that the first 3 furlongs are going to be lickety-split, and Mabs Cross probably will get outpaced in the early stages. So will 2 or 3 others. Would I back Batash at 4-7? No. Am I dead keen to lay him? Well, his first time out, he's got a penalty. He's had a breathing operation since he last ran, but Charlie Hills' horses are in very good form, and the other plus for Batash fans, and there will be some at 4-7, are that he's won first time out in the last 2 seasons. So for me, it's not a race I'm going to bet in. I just hope Mabs Cross runs well for Michael and for the Armstrong family, because she's a likeable filly and she's very much going the right way.
Yeah, she certainly is indeed. Of course, there's another really good competitive race on the day as well at Haydock. Not always being run on this day in the past. This is the Sandy Lane Stakes, 6 furlongs the distance, a Group 2 also. And wow, it's a mini Commonwealth Cup, this. And what a cracking renewal as well, Jim.
It's an absolutely fabulous race. It's worked out really well. You're right, it didn't used to be on this day. A couple of seasons ago, the BHA spoke to Haydock and said about moving it there because the trainers felt that it is a better lead-in time to Royal Ascot to have it now. And, you know, it is seen as a stepping stone to the Commonwealth Cup at Royal Ascot, but it's a fantastic race in its own right with half a dozen group winners in the field, including a Group 1 winner in the shape of Carl Burks, unfortunately.
Yeah, there certainly is indeed. If I gave you £10 now, what would be your standout for this year's very competitive renewal?
Well, there's not a lot between most of them on form. If you said to me, you've got to be involved, I don't think I don't think Invincible Army is a horse who's ground dependent. He can go on firm, he can go on soft, and as Michael has already alluded to, there is rain around in the forecast over the next 36 hours in the north particularly. The south have had it today, so it's difficult to know what the ground exactly will be, but Invincible Army of James Tate is already in good form. He's a high class horse in his own right. He's a fantastic looking animal as well. If you're going to give me a tenner, Bobby,
I will.
I'll frame
just
it
just this once.
I'll frame it, but for these purposes I'll stick it on Invincible Army.
As we said at the start of the show, there's so much great racing to look forward to over the weekend. And we're going to turn our attention now to York, because there's a really good 5 furlong sprint to enjoy on the Knavesmire. And earlier on today, I spoke to the trainer of El Astronaute, John Quinn, and I asked him, is he all ready for Saturday after his very quick turnaround over course and distance last week?
Yeah, I'm very happy with him. He's come out of the race really well, and you know, he's in good fettle.
Are you concerned at all about the draw, Johnny? He had a low draw last time out. This time, it's a completely opposite end of the spectrum.
Yeah, I know. It's a different ball game. But there is speed around us. There is speed in the middle, and there is speed the far side. So it's hard to tell, really. But we just take it as it comes, you know.
Just judging by the answer, I would say that you're not overly concerned about the draw.
No. I mean, I'd rather be one side or another with him, you know. But so, as I say, he's high, and we'll just go straight down the stand side, you know.
And if the rain does arrive on the Knavesmire, that won't be too much of an issue for him, will it?
Well, I mean, he's won in all types of ground. The only ground he doesn't want is heavy, and it's not going to get to that, you know.
And about yourself as well, John, you're in fine form at the moment. 6 wins from 23 runners. You must be delighted.
Yeah, they're in very good form. We're very pleased, and long may it last, you know. We're very pleased how they're running.
This is Bobby Beaver's Racing Roundup on Proper Sport.
John Quinn speaking to me earlier on. Jim, straight away, in your opinion, how much of a concern is the high draw for El Astronaute?
Well, if we hadn't had the meeting last week at York, the May meeting, I'd have been very concerned about it. But it actually, if anything, more horses tended to race, apart from El Astronaute, tended to race high rather than low, from what we call the high stalls. In past seasons, they've had very little chance, but it certainly didn't look the case that way. I mean, he's done a great job with this horse. He's off his highest mark on Saturday. He's off 101. He's gone up another £3 since York last week. And, of course, it's a very tightly knit sprint. Mm-hmm. Quite a lot of the horses that ran against him last week at York are in this. Mm-hmm. So 4 of the first 6 home, for example, line up again, amongst others. And it's, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say it's the, when you said, oh, will you look at that sprint at York? Oh, goodness me. Yeah, another nice, easy one. But El Astronaute should run well. Equally, I like the chances of Major Jumbo, who was third to him the other day. Nicola Curry can't ride this week. I think she's suspended. So Cameron Noble, another very good claiming rider, takes 5 off. He had 5 off with Nicola the other day, so it's not as if it's something new. But he's a horse that's held his form well as well. And if you said to me, you've got to go for one, in a very hard race, I'd go for Major Jumbo.
There's also a Group 3 on Saturday at York as well. What do you make to the Group 3 on Saturday?
The Bronte Cup. Yeah, it's a new initiative. It's sponsored by Albasti Equa World, who are based in Dubai. And the Bronte Cup is part of the new fillies, new series introduced by the BHA to encourage mares to stay in training. Now, when you do something like this, you can't expect to get massive fields early on because it takes time for trainers to decide, A, are we going to keep a filly in training? And B, for them all to get their heads around the pattern book. They've got quite a nice field. I dare say William Darby would ideally have liked another couple of runners. In Isabel de Urbina, trained by Rafe Beckett, we've got a filly who's A, won a race of this nature, B, beaten two of her rivals who are in this field on Saturday already. And although she's got interesting challenges in Precious Ramotswe of John Gosden's and a French challenger trained by Francis-Henri Graffard, Doremi Farso, I think that Isabel de Urbina, she looks sure to go close again. She stays well. She's not ground dependent. So to me, the rain won't make any difference. She won't be a great price, but I think she's got a good chance of going in again.
And also, just a bit further down south as well, Jim, there's a really good 7 furlong handicap at Goodwood as well.
Yes, there is, isn't there, Bob? Just 16 runners around the 7 furlong turns at Goodwood. Another nice, easy one that you've given me. Firstly, if you bet at Goodwood in these competitive handicaps on the round course, you need luck in running.
Yep.
More so than usual. But in Maverick Officer, number 16, a horse who ran very well on his reappearance when second at Doncaster, was a little bit unlucky, second to Ventura Knight in quite a good handicap. Got a decent draw in four, a good jockey on doing a light weight, and although the race isn't pushover, you said to me, I had to come up with one. I think if things drop his way, he's got a decent chance at the weights in what's obviously another very hard contest.
Yes, Maverick Officer there. Horse number 16 for David Simcock and Luke Morris. Right then, Jim, it's come to that stage of the show when I ask you for this week's tips for the weekend.
But you're not going to get that straight away. It's come to this stage of the show when all the listeners want to know why you haven't got any socks on for a second week in a row.
You don't wear socks with these. Look, for people watching now, you don't wear socks with these ones. It's like wearing socks with sandals. It's
come on,
you don't
must
do.
Be a lovely granny listening to us that can knit him a pair of socks.
I would not wear socks with this type of shoe. I would look ridiculous. Don't answer that one. I could see it. I could see the mouth about to open there. You're about to come out with something. So I thought I'd jump in there before I gave you a chance. Would you wear socks with sandals?
Socks and sandals.
That's what I mean. It's like wearing socks with this type of shoe. You wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I... You're getting it now, Jim. You're coming around.
Yeah, I don't think you'll be doing the fashion at Royal Ascot this year, will you, for any of the media outlets? Oh, OK, let's move it on.
Are you wearing socks, Jim?
I am, Bob.
Excellent.
Yeah, an old gimmer like me has to wear socks. Right, tips.
Yeah. What do you fancy?
Fairly obvious on form, but I think... entitled to be a little bit shorter, Ilarcum in the Irish Guineas at 4:10 on Saturday. He's in a big handicap, but he's not a big price. He's a horse who's fairly well flagged up. But I worked at Haydock. I worked at Haydock umpteen times. I worked at Newbury at the Greenham meeting. And on the Friday, Kesar of Richard Hannon's won a handicap there over 7 furlongs, really impressively. Richard said afterwards, he said, we'll get this one ready for the Britannia. He's not in the Britannia at Royal Ascot. He's in the St James's Palace Stakes, which is a Group 1 race. But he's in another handicap at Haydock on Saturday. Frankie Dettori rides him. A little bit of rain, I think, would probably help him. But he has form on faster conditions as well. He's called Kesar. He's got a good draw. Again, it's a tough handicap. There are some lightly raced horses in there. But they'll have to go some to beat him. I think he's a good young horse in the making.
Great stuff. Jim McGrath's tips for this weekend's action. Right, and that is the end of this week's show. Of course, thank you very much for tuning in. And just before we go, as always, I'd like to thank my guests for joining us on the show. It's Charlie Johnston, Michael Dodds and John Quinn. Do join us next week as we will be looking ahead to the Oaks and the Derby as well. I cannot believe that it's almost Derby and Oaks time. I don't know about you.
I know. It's when the season starts to roll, with the Classic Trials and the Craven meeting. It just seems to whiz through, doesn't it?
Yeah, it certainly does indeed. It's absolutely flying by. Right, then do tune in next week, same time with myself and Jim McGraw. But from all of us here, it's goodbye for now.
This is Bobby Beaver's Racing Roundup on Proper Sport.